All right, thank you. Let's open our Bibles. We're still in 1 John. We didn't go through it as fast as I thought we might, but we're going to start chapter 4, at least get a few verses into chapter 4 this morning of the little book of 1 John. John wrote 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. He also wrote Gospel according to John, and he wrote the book of Revelation, so he's one of the major writers here in the New Testament. And he's writing 1 John basically to Christians, even though there's some things that would apply to those that are lost, like the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all sin. But that's not only true for the unsaved, but you and I that are saved, we still need to, as the typology in the Bible is, we still need to wash our feet. We need to keep good fellowship with the Lord. And the Bible talks about not letting the sun go down on your wrath or on your sin, and that's a good practice. I think it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great famous preacher of London of days gone by, said, keep short accounts with God. Now, what he meant was stay confessed up, prayed up, in fellowship with the Lord. And if not, we are all, even though we're saved, the flesh will get in command and we'll get cold if we don't stay close to the Lord. I've often told folks why church attendance is important and why not only does it help us, but it helps others. We have fellowship one with another, and there's a strength that comes from that. Sometime you'll hear something like, well, that church is fired up, or that church is dead, or some statement like that. And we pretty much know what folks are talking about. It's pretty hard, unless you got some extra fuel somewhere, it's pretty hard to build a fire with one piece of wood. Did you know that? You ever try that? That don't work too good. But you can get several pieces and lay them together, you can build a pretty good fire. And that's why it helps us then to come to church. And the admonition is to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's a big help. And you can draw strength from it. And if you are asking God to give you something, there'll not be very many church services that you don't get something out of. Sometime you may not stop and think that you did, or you may not think about it at all. You parents have kids when they went to school, and you know we were all guilty of this. We'd say to the kids, what'd you learn today? You know what the answer is? Nothing. 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 But let them go about 3 months. You find out they learned to read. They learned to do arithmetic. They were learning every day. But you ask them every day, nothing, especially little boys would say something like that. I never need this stuff. Boy, that's infamous words I uttered when I was not just a little kid. When I was in high school, we had a 10th grade English teacher. She was supposed to breathe fire. We'd already heard about her for years. She was an old maid school teacher. We were scared to get in her class. And I don't know if the kids was praying or not, but the very first week of her class, she fell down the steps and broke her hip. And she was out all year. And she was a good English teacher. She'd been at it for years. You know what they did? They bring in one substitute after another. And we found that was going, and you know what? We rebelled against that. Well, we didn't rebel. We took advantage of that. And we made it hard on every substitute that came in. And we coasted through. Oh, man, we enjoyed coasting through, dodging the work. And then I went to college. And I found out what I'd done to myself. The very thing I should have gotten that year, I didn't have. And my college teacher did not fall down the stairs and break his leg. He gave me an F the first 6 weeks in college on that very subject, English. And some of you realize why I got it. You're listening to me, you know why I got it. And He was a good Christian man. He set me down. He said, I want you to know something. You're going to be a preacher. You're going to have to work on this. And I did work on it. And believe it or not, I got to where I could pass it on paper and make good grades. Now, speaking it, that's taking a little longer. But it is amazing that we think we didn't get anything, but we did. And you get something out of church sometime where you don't think. I remember the story of the daddy or who it was sent the little boy down to the creek to bring a container of water back. But the container had pretty much a screen in the bottom of it. It was actually a strainer. And so time he'd get back to pour it into the trough, the water'd leak out. He done that two or three times, and finally he said, this is not working. He said, what's not working? Well, the time I get there, the water's gone. It's leaked out. He said, yeah, but look how clean the strainer is. Now think about it. It may go in one ear and out the other, and we'd talk about that and joke about that. You remember the preacher that went hunting with two other guys, and they all three shot at a deer at the same time. About that time, the game warden come up, and they were saying, we don't know who killed the deer. And we don't know which tag to put on him. We don't know who killed the deer. Game warden said, who are you? Well, he said, I'm an attorney, and I'm a doctor, and I'm a preacher. Okay, he said, I'll tell you pretty quick who killed the deer. He looked at it and turned back around and said, preacher, you killed him. He said, how would you know that? He said, because the bullet went in one ear and out the other. Game warden had been to church a few times, hadn't he? I'm afraid that's true. All right, enough of that. Chapter 4, 1 John, is a carryover on the word spirit here and the information concerning spirits from chapter 3. If you drop back to chapter 3 and last verse, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. How do I know that he abides in me? He says, by his Spirit. Now, many, many scriptures on this thought. Romans 8:16 says that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we know that we're children of God. We have an inside witness, and that's what he's talking about. And the very fact, that we have that witness tells us we belong to him. So the verse here is saying we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit, capital S, which he hath given us. But now moving into chapter 4, he talks about something very important. By the way, we use the Spirit a lot of ways today in this sense. Of speaking of it, we'll say that guy had a good spirit. He had a bad spirit. That team had spirit. That team didn't have any spirit. And we all know what we're talking about. Now, a spirit is not always necessarily a supernatural presence. It is amazing how we do speak of each other having a good or bad spirit. Now, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, and this little S on this spirit here. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, still a little S, plural, spirits, where they are of God. Now, he's telling us in just that statement that we better be careful that there are other spirits out there, and we need to test them. We need to be sure we don't listen to every spirit. Now, try the spirits. He's going to tell us how to try them in a little bit. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, this is a verse that the world really needs to get a hold of today because the world is deceived and fooled, and the spiritual world has a dark side to it, an underground, if you please, just like the physical world. We have a physical world today with evil present, don't we? It looks like to us sometimes it's the majority. We forget because it's a lot easier to look at the wrong than it is the right. And I'm not one of these guys that says just be a Pollyanna, everything you see is good. I don't believe that. I believe we ought to face reality. But there is two sides in this physical world, and there is two sides in the spiritual world. There's a, we think of the criminal element in America or anywhere, and we say the underground, or underworld. We'll even call them an underworld, underworld characters. There's still folks hung up on the fact that they know that Al Capone spent the night in our hotel there in the early years. He did it more than one time. And I had the awfulest time when we was rebuilding that place of keeping folks out because they wanted to come in there and look for his treasure. Truth. The gossip had gone around that somehow or another he'd hid his treasure, his bank robberies or whatever. I don't think he was that much in the bank robbery, but his loot. And I really had some problems. So some of you remember that. We had to board the place up and try to lock it up at night. And even in the daytime, I remember Sunday afternoon, Brother Pasola was with us, and he called me on the phone. He said, we'd worked hard. We tried to board the place up because they'd come in, steal our tools and other things and hawk them. All that went on while we was doing that building. He called me. He said, you wouldn't believe what I just saw. He said, I went down to the hotel and went in one of the doors where he had a key. And he said, there was a little old lady in there just walking around gathering up little items. And he said, I said, ma'am, what are you doing in here? She said, well, I'm just getting a few things. Now, it wasn't only her. I had some others. They thought they owned it too. They'd come, oh, it's the craziest thing you ever see. Unbelievably crazy. But he said, well, ma'am, those things don't belong to you. Well, I just thought I'd take them. He said, well, how did you get in here? He knew the door was locked. She said, right over there. And he said, where we had boarded up some windows, he said, there was a space. He said, preacher, I don't believe there was a 6-inch gap in there. And he said, you got in how? She said, right over there. And he said, how did you do that? That window's boarded. She said, I'll show you. And she went back through and left. He said, hey, and carried her little things with her, whatever she'd gathered up. She didn't let go of them. And he called me on Sunday afternoon to tell me that. But I saw several situations very similar to that. It was crazy. One guy, we had a lot of volunteer workers in there during the day, a lot of our church members and some friends around town that come in there and work, scraping off all that old paint and trying to get things where they could. And this guy come up. I'd never seen him before. He said, I want to volunteer and help work. Well, I'd had others do that, but something said, this guy, he ain't telling you the truth. But I took him where there was three men working. I know at that time Brother Herzog was one of them. I don't see him back there, but he generally is. And a couple of others. And I took them to him. I said, now, they're all scraping this wall and getting ready to paint it. You want to help? Oh, yeah. I came back through after a while. I said, where'd that man go? They said, we don't know. I said, we turned around and looked. He was gone. He just lied to get in. Somebody else said, well, I saw him here and I saw him there. He found out later he was searching the building for Al Capone's treasure. He didn't find it. I wish he had. We could have taken it away from him. But all joking aside, it was a crazy thing. And this business here of trying the spirits is very real. Now, it says, because many false prophets are going out in the world. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying the spirit, not just floating around like a cloud or smoke somewhere, but he's abiding in the false prophet. That's where the spirit is going to abide. Do you realize there's very little, and you need to understand that, especially if you're afraid of ghosts and things. You need to understand the spirit needs some hands it don't have. It needs some legs. It even needs a voice. They can do a few little limited things, but they need to get into a man's body to really do any harm. And a bad spirit, an evil spirit, can take over somebody else and hurt you with that person's body. But people talk about them being disembodied spirits, meaning basically they don't have a body. And I don't open up all that can of worms there. But this verse is telling us, try the spirit that's in the false prophet. And boy, there's never been an age like us with this everything online business. Any heretic, any false doctrine can get around on the line. And the part that discourages a preacher like me is how many good, seemingly good Christians and church members will pause and listen to that junk and then get all fouled up. That's not the way you do it. You better try the spirits. You better find out. False prophets are out there. The cults, the isms, everywhere. And of course, even Muhammad, the religion of Islam, I believe with all my heart, was started by the false spirits. Muhammad himself said he was not sure where demons, they call them jinns, G-I-N-S, was giving him the information, or whether it was coming from a real angel of God. They're great impersonators, but some of the doctrine they have, you know, didn't come from God, for sure. And to try the spirits is very important for us today. Now he says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. And he's going to tell us how we can try them. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. I'm sorry about the throat thing this morning, but it'll clear in a minute, I hope. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is God. All right, here's what that's saying. Do you believe that Christ was God incarnate in a human body? If you believe that, that spirit's telling the truth. Now, that spirit may be in a man, may be in a woman, might be on TV, might be somewhere else. But that's a test. And it's a test for those that do not believe that Jesus was God. They think he was a created being like Satan was created or some angel was created. They will not give him his full deity. That spirit is not of God. And you can spot the cults and isms on that very basis. Jehovah's Witness do not believe that Jesus was God incarnate. I've had them tell me, well, we believe he's the Son of God, but he was created being like Michael, Archangel, and so forth. No, you're not going to be saved believing that. That is the key test of salvation, is what you believe about the Lord Jesus. If he wasn't God incarnate, we don't have a Savior. Only God could pay the price. No angel could, no created being. God had to do that himself. So he says, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now here's where I'm going to bother some of you a little bit. But there's some good people that speak in what they believe is an unknown tongue. The Bible don't talk about the word unknown. Paul said every language has a significance, an understanding. So people got the message. It was not some language uttered that nobody could understand. That's where the danger comes in. That's where the bad spirit can get in and be calling your Savior anything in the world and you don't know it, and using your lips, maybe a vocal box, to do it. I would not want to be speaking and not know what I had said. And that's what the Bible basically teaches. It's a tongue. It's a language. And yes, God can give an unknown language when he wants to and needs to. And he may have done more so in history before the word was written than he has today. By the way, no spirit can add to the Bible. No outside information is complete. Everything God wants you and I to know is between these covers. And any spirit that not denies what's in the Bible or tells you what would go against the Bible is not a spirit from God. And this is where folks need to get straight. I've joked about it before, but when I was in a hard spot over in Russia in the early 90s at the airport, and the guards had the machine guns out and looking kind of bad, and I couldn't speak Russian and they couldn't speak English, and I said, Lord, now, if there is a gift of tongues, I need it right now. Now, I joke about that a little bit. But the truth was, what I needed was the tongue of Russian language. And I didn't have it. All I had with me was my South Georgian language, and they couldn't get a bit of it. I finally drew them a few pictures, and the grace of God got me out of a fix. But anyway, I do believe God can do that. I believe at times he has, but the language had a message. It was intelligible. It was not something that nobody could understand. And by the way, in the early church, the interpreter was supposed to be present before the word of God was written, and otherwise they were supposed to keep quiet. Now, this is really going to bother you. You ever read in the Bible where it says, let the women be silent in the church? Now, that don't mean you can't sing, ladies. It don't mean you can't talk. Might help some of you if you eased up a little bit on it, but all right, I'm playing with you. But don't mean that at all. It meant the women standing up in church, the early assembly, claiming they had a message, and it was of the wrong spirit. And so Paul forbade them to speak that way. Not they couldn't sing, not they couldn't talk, but it was in that sense that Paul gave that order to them. I'll put it this way. The woman is still the weaker vessel, just like she was in the Garden of Eden. Eve was the one tempted and one fell first. And women, you will fall first. Most cults and isms got started by a woman. Christian Science, Mary Baker, Patterson Glover, Eddie, that's how many times she was married, and a couple more I missed. Really, Ellen White, with all her books concerning Seventh-day Adventism and where they're off. Not all. You got others. You got men, but you got a lot of women that the devil has been able to seduce in the sense of with the wrong spirit and use them. And it still goes on today. So you have to be careful about that. That's what Paul was saying there. And if today in the modern tongue movement, I know I get flack over this, but if the women practiced that command of Paul, there wouldn't be a whole lot of tongue speaking going on in a lot of assemblies. I'm sorry, but that's Bible. That's the truth. Anyway, I do believe on some occasion God can give a message in another language, and I think that probably happened in the early years before the word was written. But the languages, the tongues in the Bible means language. And so it was a language. All right, I got off on that, but that's where spirits mess with them. By the way, the unknown tongue business goes on in heathen circles like you wouldn't believe. A missionary told me, he said, I've been around the campfires in the jungle and heard the same tongue talking that I've heard back in the States in some so-called church buildings. And he said they were not worshiping Jesus. They were worshiping their heathen spirits around their totem pole and stuff. And he said the same phenomena. He said, I have been there and I have seen that. Now, this is a good few verses that you ought to be very, very familiar with. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And that spirit may be talking out of a prophet. And if he does not confess that Jesus is God incarnate, then that's a false spirit, a false message coming out of that prophet, that man, that so-called prophet. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. He flips to the other side of the street. And he says, and this is that spirit, still with a little s, of Antichrist. Now, we're talking about a book written here before 90 A.D., John is writing, but he says the spirit of the Antichrist existed then. And the spirit of the Antichrist has existed all through church history and will finally materialize into a man like Judas was a man that the devil used. There will be a man in the end days, tribulation period for sure, that will be an Antichrist. It'll be a good while. I was teaching on it the other night. It'll be everybody wanting to say, who's the Antichrist? Well, I would rather look down from heaven and see who he is. I'm going to get out of here on the first load called the rapture. And then let the Antichrist show up. He'll show up when the temple's built and everybody will know because he's going to declare himself God. He'll be revealed then for sure. We'll be suspicious if a covenant's made 3.5 years before that, but there'll be a material man, and he will be the fulfillment of the Antichrist spirit. The Antichrist spirit exists right now. Every Christian worldwide right now, if he amounts to anything, really represents Jesus. We all almost got a target on our back now. The world is persecuting Christians, and it's the one group they can get by with and not be charged with discrimination. But boy, all the other groups, you can't. They'll fuss about you saying anything against the Muslims. They'll fuss about you saying almost anything against anybody, but jump on the Christians all you want to. And the media is happy to accommodate you there. And that's what's, which tells you something. There's a spirit behind it, and the spirit knows what is the truth. And that's what he attacks. And that's what the devil does. Spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. If you'll read the oldest writings you can get a hold of, you'll understand what John was referring to. The Gnostics were on the scene at the time John was writing this. They claim to have greater wisdom than anybody else, greater knowledge, and that's kind of what the word Gnostics, I guess, means there. And they brought in lots of heresies. One of those heresies was that Jesus was a created being, not God himself. You see the same doctrine? I've often said this, the devil is of limited genius. The same bad doctrine you find today, you can trace back through history. He may package it different. Christmas time's coming. Are any of you ladies going to be guilty of taking that gift you didn't like last year and repackaging it and giving it to somebody else? I'm not asking. I'm just saying. Now, I'm on a medal here. But the devil's good at repackaging. He's good at giving it a different name, but it's the same old thing. And that's exactly what he does. Now, he says here, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now, a lot of folks fuss about using the word it when it comes to the word spirit. But in the neutral gender, like Romans 8:16, I mentioned a while ago, the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Somebody says you shouldn't call the Holy Spirit of it. No, he's a he, but in the neutral gender, that's what is going on. It's not a wrong translation in your Bible. Now, coming back to the text right here, already in the world, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, well, false prophets with false spirits, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the Antichrist spirit's in the world, but Jesus' real spirit is in the saved, inside of you and I, and he does give discernment. Oftentimes, even when the outward words seem right and when the outward actions may seem right, sometime a spirit-filled child of God, born again by the Spirit of God, will have a spiritual warning on the inside. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever just said, just don't feel right? I couldn't put my finger on it, couldn't prove it, but it just didn't feel right. You know, sometimes we call them hunches, and sometimes maybe they are. But then sometimes it's just God talking to you on the inside. Oh, I'm not going to get far as I wanted to. I told my wife the other day, we came home from a vacation. Not vacation. We never had a vacation, really, I don't think. She says we hadn't, probably hadn't. Oh, I'd preached up in Georgia, and it was one of those few trips that she had went with me, so we'd only been gone 3 days. And she had told the newspaper to don't drop them off in front of the house. That'll tell everybody we're gone, you know, extra newspapers laying in the yard. But they didn't listen. So we pulled back up in a hard rainstorm, and there was 3 or 4 papers laying there. And I started to get the mail out of the box. I could see it was full. And I rolled the window down. It was flooding in. So I told her, I said, let's go in the house. We'll get in the garage and unpack. And I'll come back out here and get the mail. Well, an hour later, I went out there. My mail was gone. And I knew somebody had got it. And realized they thought we were not home. But we actually were home when they stole it. But we were in the house unloading the luggage and stuff. And I had this funny feeling. I picked up the newspapers. It quit raining. I threw them in the trash. And the next day, all day long, I thought about that thing, and I just had a hunch. Now, I'll tell you what I think. I think God wanted me to do this. So I get home about 4, about the time the mail, maybe 3:30, about the time the mail runs. I came home a little bit early on purpose. And I went back to the garbage can, and I took those newspapers out, and I put them back where they were, right in the same spot where they were on the road. And I went in the house and didn't turn on the light and sat down where I could see a little bit out the window. She come in a little later, "What are you doing?" I said, "Leave those papers alone. Those guys are coming back." She said, "Oh, no way, no way." I said, "I just got a hunch, a strong hunch they're coming back. Because they got our mail yesterday. They think we're gone. They're going to get it again today." Well, sure enough, I sat there with the light. I made one mistake. I pulled my shoes off. Shouldn't have done it. Right on time they pulled up. I mean, right on time. I jumped out and run out and jumped in my car. And make a short story, I chased them trying to get their tag number. Now, I knew in my heart they were coming. I can't tell you why. My wife didn't think she thought I was nuts, you know, but I drove my car barefoot close enough. I got 3 or 4 of their tag numbers. I turned over to the police, but then a yellow school bus stopped and had the blinker, and I wouldn't run by it, so I had to let them go. You say, what are you saying? Well, I'm just saying you sometime God does some strange something, just plants it so hard in your heart that you got to act on it. And that's the way it was. Now, I'll tell you one thing. Somebody else may come get my mail, but they won't. I scared them to death, and I'm glad I did. I talked to the sheriff about it. He said he doubted they'd come back, too. All right, I got off on that. Why are you getting me off on that? Talking about a spirit leading you. Talking about God leading you. Verse 4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater, the Lord Jesus is the greater one. If you're in tune with him, you can recognize the false spirits. Honestly, you can, folks. But you gotta be walking with the Lord and let the Lord speak to you. Then he says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us." And that's what's going on in the world today. "Hereby we know the spirit of truth." Two spirits now. One, spirit of truth. And number 2, spirit of error. People today want to communicate with the dead, and it's commanded not to in the Bible. Do you ever think about these old seances? What do they do? Of course, a lot of it's fake, but some of them do have a familiar spirit according to the Word of God. But they take you in a dark room. They darken everything. That ought to tell you what spirit they're trying to get in touch with. God's spirit's a spirit of light. Satan's is a spirit of darkness. That ought to tell you something right there. John 3:19, "This is the condemnation that's come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil." All right, Ms. Madam's fortune teller, right here in the bright light, show me something. No, if she's in cahoots with the spirit, it's a dark spirit. And the darker, the better. When is most crime committed? In the dark. In the dark. What does the law tell you? Put on the lights, turn on the lights. Isn't it amazing? That's the way it works. You ever roll over a log in the woods and let the sunlight get to the bottom of the log and see all the vermin scatter? Well, that's still the way it is in the human race, too. They don't want the light. And the deeds are evil. That's why. All right, we'll maybe do a little better with that next week, but our time is up right now.